If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
RBD Podcast. Salute, boys.
Salute.
Caleb is not here to partake in the fine bourbon, but we're here to recap the first leg. First leg was just this past weekend. Matt Dalton and remote Caleb Eby, sitting down in Sunbury, maybe sitting in a utility truck getting ready to get called out to work, potentially.
Not quite.
So first leg was this past weekend. We had 174 shooters here, a pile of early birds, so that was pretty nice. The weather sucked on Friday, but we still had
26, 27, something like that.
26 shooters, which isn't bad. That's not a bad number for Friday. I don't know. What did you guys get on Friday down here in Keystone last year? Do you remember?
I think 30-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's about all we can expect for a Friday afternoon anymore. I mean, I don't know why I thought for some reason in the beginning we were getting like 70 or 80 shooters, but I don't think that was ever the case on Friday. But I mean, Friday it rained all day, and the people that shot Friday were miserable and wet.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, trying to think of who were some of the guys that came and shot on Friday. Oh, like
Tommy Haynes, he was here.
Tommy Haynes came and shot. Oh, Cricky was down here on Friday.
Oh, yeah, Cricky and him.
So two of our Keystone boys. Cricky ended up winning some money.
I seen that. He's very lucky.
Yes. Are we going to? Yeah. He was like, oh, I didn't shoot very good. Now he's probably thinking, man, if I can hit 288 every leg, I might be able to come away from this shooting the black. I think his take on the course. So the course was some lanes we haven't shot since maybe the first or second year. But I think his take on it was easy, is what he told me.
Yeah, that's
so. Cricky, we have a course set up at Cricky. A couple of us have brought targets. And most people would not like doing Cricky's course because it's very, very difficult. It makes other courses for us pretty easy. But it's not easy. There's a lot of bad footing, side hills, deep angled shots. I mean, there's a couple over there. You shoot over 20-degree shots. And then you just basically go down a four-wheeler trail and you just kind of shoot through the course itself. And you know, if you get into a 20-degree angle, you shoot at three or four shots until you get out of it. So it's not for the level archer.
Well, so it's like good training then. I mean, So he should be more than prepared to come up here and shoot what I got going on. I mean, other than like the mud and that, I mean, the mud makes everything up here miserable. I know some guys were complaining about the footing. I would always argue that the footing varies year to year.
Yeah.
I think you would agree with that. Some years the footing for open is horrible, and Hunter and the women's Hunter and youth have a bit easier. This year it just happened to be that the Hunter guys took the brunt of the bad footing. So I suspected I definitely would have heard from some of those guys, and I did, but I knew it going out. I knew the Hunter footing was going to be the more difficult stake to shoot from. It's how it laid out, you know. But I mean, some years the footing from blue is horrible, horrible, horrible footing. I mean, I didn't think it was super bad this year, except for a couple shots. I mean, so you rolled through on Saturday morning. You were the first group out. I'd imagine you shot at your own pace. And how long did it? I can't remember how long it took you to get through that thing. Were you keeping track?
I think we were done. I mean, we were on the course probably at 7, and I'm pretty sure 30 when we came on the course. We moved pretty good. We had a group of 3. Obviously it was muddy, but I didn't think it affected any of the shots. Like, footing wise, the Lynx, the Coyote, and maybe a couple of them side hills from like 11 till 16-ish, 18-ish, I don't know, somewhere up in there, I thought were less than ideal for footing from the blue stake, which the links I thought was the hardest shot on the course, the worst footing for me. I couldn't stay steady. I was just happy to hit the target. And but that was a little bit of the uphill extreme angle and small pen ring.
That was the worst footing probably, and it would have been worse if I would have put the blue on the side hill. I mean, I had thought about making that shot maybe like a 42 or 44-yard shot, and as I walked up the hill, I thought, phew, I don't want to stand here. I'm going to put this thing all the way back down at the bottom where it's at least relatively.
That howling wolf right after that lynx before the coyote, that was kind of tough to put into that side hill.
I thought that was going to play harder because I thought that was going to be a lot of bubble on that shot.
It was.
And it was. But I don't think a lot of guys had trouble with that. They did have trouble with the coyote, which when I shot through, I personally thought that was not a bad shot.
So I'm with you, right? When we set that, I thought that was way more intimidating until I shot it. It really wasn't that bad of a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I shot with Dave Eisenhower, and he sent one right over the back of that thing about 5 feet. But I think he was like a little nervy on that one. But I mean,
We had 2 11s and 2 10s.
I thought that downhill panther was harder than that coyote.
I would agree.
That black panther kind of in by the tree.
Yep.
Yeah. Lynx was my first day.
Panther was a lot of bubble, too. The Panther was a lot. You shot what, 2 up, Caleb?
I shot 2 up. Shot 3 8s. I couldn't find rings. I had my arrows landed maybe a half inch left of many rings. I probably would have had a pretty big day. Moved my sight about 7 or 8 clicks. Happens when you're on a hill, it's kind of like, was that the hill? Did I break a good shot? You know, those things are going through my head, so I'm pretty cautious when it comes to just running my sight left or right, but I should have just done it more than
So you're back to running your Bowtech. And I know you messaged me about it's the same setup you're running that you won Worlds with. Are you running the same arrows, or did you stay with the skinnies? Because someone had asked me that this weekend, and asked me if you were still running the skinnies, and I said, I don't know. I said, if he's back to his same setup he won Worlds with, I said, he might be back to X-Cutters. I said, I'm not sure.
So I ran X-Cutters this weekend. Didn't try the skinnies with the Reckoning. I pretty much looked at my notes that I took from the setup I had, and now they might not be exactly the same grain, but point weight, veins are different. That was basically the only difference. Arrows, but it's basically the same. And holding weight and draw weight, draw length, they're all very, very close. I don't know, it just seemed like when I picked that bow back up, I mean, I have the Gen 2 now, and I shot it a little bit, and when I set up this Gen 1 that I got off my buddy Joel, I'm like, riding a bike.
So the Gen, you can tell the difference between them, the Gen 1 and Gen 2. Like, there's a difference in the feel of the bow?
Well, the draw cycle is complete opposite. Oh, really? Gen 2 is kind of normal towards comparing to, you know, a lot of bows will be the draw cycle. You got light up front, stiff in the back of the valley, you know, and then it dumps into the valley. Whereas the Reckoning Gen 1 is stiff up front and then kind of eases its way back into the valley. And I don't know, for me, if it's, I have a little bit of a relaxed shot. I don't know if that benefits me at all because of that, but I don't seem to shoot bows well that load up in the back of the draw cycle compared to, I mean, pretty much the only one that I can think of loads up in the front.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I shot that bow so well in the past that I just thought, you know what? I'm not shooting as much as I was before, and with little practice, I feel like that gives me my best right now to be competitive with Brady and Glenn, who are shooting a lot.
Well, I mean, you weren't really that far off from them guys this weekend, really. I mean,
no,
you were, like you said, you were just, like, sometimes you hit rings, sometimes you don't, right? I mean, so you could easily hit all them rings that you just missed, and you could have been 12, you know, 12, 14 up, just like them guys, I would imagine, right? You know, so.
Yeah, I was a half inch away from shooting that score, which, you know how it goes. I mean, some days everything goes your way, you hit them all. I had that day, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I felt like I was shooting pretty good. I missed my sight three times because I'm getting used to, like, my old man magnifier. I got one of them, like, flip-out magnifiers that brings the sight tape real big in my vision. So, like, on that downhill 29-yard javelina, I thought I was shooting it for, like, 29 yards, but I was shooting it for 34 yards because all I was doing was looking at the big hashes with the little hash behind it. I didn't realize I was one full mark beyond my 30. When I shot that thing in the back, I thought, huh, that's an odd place for that arrow to land. That didn't seem like that was supposed to go there. I did the same thing back-to-back targets. I shot that frickin' Snarling Wolf. I did the same thing. I misset my sight by like 4 yards, and I shot just over the 10 on that thing. I mean, so I shot 8 down, but I wasn't too upset because I feel like I gave away like probably 9 or 10 points. I mean, I think the best I could have shot was maybe around 1 or 2 up or maybe even, but I would have taken that all day long over here. I mean, I personally thought, regardless of what anybody was saying, I personally thought it was probably one of the harder sets I had here in the last couple of years. Just because of those few shots, like that Lynx and that.
Well, and there was a pile of people that came off the course, right? And they were telling us down here that, and it was exactly what I said all weekend. If you didn't get your bonus points or your bonus rings in the first 15, you were going to be hurt, right? That back 15 was.
It was tough, right? I mean, and the irony of my whole day was I got all my points on the back.
So, you know, I got all of mine up front, yeah. And I hit target 15. and things started falling apart for me slowly, and I thought, this isn't going
to
go well.
I shot pretty even until that lynx. I was managed to be right around even, or maybe I was like, yeah, I was a little down at that point, but then after that lynx, I managed to shoot, you know, better 12 that uphill buck.
I really fell apart right at the turn, right? Because like I told you, I was 8 up at the turn going to that walking bear, and I thought, all right, things aren't perfect, but they are going okay, right? Because that javelina is where I realized my sight tape was off.
You were also walking around on a mildly, potentially torn ankle.
I was also hobbling along on the mountain on a torn ankle, to be fair. But, yeah, I got to that walking bear, and I thought, well, for shooting an 8 on, I don't know, whatever I shot an 8 on in that javelina because of my sight tape, I was pretty happy to be 8 up, and then it was just all downhill. Yeah. I hit that side hill, and my ankle gave out, and it was all over.
So, like, there was a lot of scores this week. Like, so the I would say the big dog shot big scores, right? Brady came down, shot 14. I don't think anybody was surprised about that. Glenn shot 12.
Yep.
There was some other scores.
Brock had 10.
Brock put up a pretty good score.
Brock, that was surprising to me. I was surprised that Brock shot 10 up. I don't know why. The kid's a good shooter, but I just didn't think. I guess I didn't think he was shooting that good. I mean, but he did put up a good score. You know, which like lends me to think, you know, I sit there and think, and I get it when I hear everybody tell me how hard it was and it was too hard or whatever. But then I see someone like Abby Miraglia come off there, and I think in the past that girl has shot like maybe in the 50s. You know, maybe in the 40s, and she's shooting from blue, and she walk off there with a 300.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
And, you know, and there was a lot of other guys that had walked off and said that was the best they've ever shot here. So, I mean, I guess you can say, yeah. I mean, I don't want to downplay what they did. I don't like the people, because I've had this talk with some other guys, and they're like, well, it's better to be lucky than good. And that just downplays, like, what, who knows how much they're practicing. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, it's better to be lucky than good. Like, they want to pretend like these guys that came off this hill this weekend and shot their best scores walked into it by accident because they didn't shoot as good as they have had in the past. You know what I mean? So the guys that were down who complain about how hard it is then chalk up the people who were up to, well, they got lucky.
I don't care how big the horseshoe is that you have. Or what lucky rabbit's foot you have in your bag. Coming off that hill even or up is a big accomplishment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, so like
to your point, right? Like some people are going to downgrade it and say, oh, it was luck, right? But like we don't know how much work Abby's been putting in. She might have come here the most prepared that she's ever been. And in the past years, maybe just been like, oh, I'm going to come and show up.
Rudy, our ASA contact, right? The Northeast rep up here, he shoots here every year. He shot his best score here ever. And I didn't get a lot of chance to talk to him because he, you know, we were busy. But he shot, I think, 12 down, right? And he's one of the guys who in the past had thought maybe to soften up the course for maybe some of the older shooters. But, I mean, 288, that ain't chopped liver coming off there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of other guys that would have cut their pinky off maybe to get around a 288, you know. So I don't think Rudy lucked into it. You know what I mean? He shot
about,
good.
How about that kid on Friday, right? Never shot the RBD before. Left this hill 5 down with 13 bonus rings or 11 bonus rings, right?
The kid of the day was this kid. Kid of the weekend. Some kid I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Flew up here on a whim because someone told him to come up.
Oh, the ER doctor.
He's an ER doctor. Comes up here. Shoots, I think, even or up, whatever. He's in, like, close to the top flight.
Yeah.
I never seen this kid before. He came up here, shot by himself, shot in the last group, shot the steel buck at the end, shot the ultra arrows buck, just nicked the tin. So he split his arrow a little bit, took that same arrow, went over to the elite steel deer, shot it at that elite deer, and that arrow blew up to about a million pieces. So maybe I would think that guy had a little bit of luck on his side if that arrow did not spear through his arm.
He definitely did, because after it blew up, he came over, and you could see a mark on his forearm, and he goes, oh, that was probably stupid.
But, I mean, but I don't think, you know, I think this year was harder than some years, but I don't think it was, like, the worst day of 30 targets you'll ever have in your life out there.
I'm never going to say that that was the hardest course ever shot. I would say, you know, like the first 10, whatever, you got started going up that hill. Easier than normal, than the normal Rob hill. But then the last 20, I didn't feel like there was any single one that was like, you know, even, I mean, the biggest target there, the bedded elk, that was not an easy. I didn't hit an 11 on it, and I thought I felt, you know, like a break. One arrow shaft to the left of the 11. And I watched, I think Mosier was in my group, shoot an 8 on that target, and felt like he broke a good shot. It's like,
I wonder if there was more bubble in that shot than maybe what now?
Well, I don't know about bubble, but when we got to it on Sunday, it was impossible to see. There was such a glare coming in from the sun that you couldn't tell if you were in the hoof, the back, the 11.
Yeah.
I was third on that target, and I told somebody to pull an umbrella out, and I said, I'm not shooting this, right? Or pull your hat off or something, but you couldn't tell where you were in that brown blob, even at 50 yards.
It's already, like, aiming at a big sheet of...
Yes. You know, it just depends when you're shooting that, you know, each specific target. Glenn called me on my way home and said, you see the IBO turkey? I said, when we shot it, the sun was gleaming on it, and I could barely see my pin that was grounding my pin out. I just used my post. But he said they couldn't even see. Like, there was nothing they could see. Lane.
And that's exactly... When I set that target there, that is exactly kind of how I envisioned it looking. You know, I could have put it so it lined up in front of that nice dark tree in the back so it was silhouetted, but I purposely held it off to the right a little bit because I knew when the sun got over in a certain way during the day, it was going to be hard to see.
Well, it's like...
Tism kicks in.
Yeah.
It was like when we were out on there on Sunday, when we got to the gator and to the wolverine. The gator looked like a log, right? But you could still pick out kind of what you were aiming at. But that wolverine, so you know how it's a brown-black split? The entire thing was black. There was no brown in it. You couldn't even tell where you were on the animal other than belly or back. And it was incredibly dark for us.
The gator, I thought guys were having trouble with because I think it was washed out and they didn't want to shoot the ground.
Yeah.
So they were a lot of those guys. I watched a couple guys shoot that thing right in the back.
One of the guys in our group shot an 8 or a 5 right out the back, too, and I figured that was the same thing.
Who did you shoot with? I shot with
Nate Sellers, Garrett Anderson, and that guy from...
Brian...
Brian Lepresti?
Yeah, Brian Lepresti.
Something like that.
Yeah, listen, from Niels.
From Niels, but that was the highlight of the whole damn day, right? So this kid, Brian Lepresti... We're on the practice bags, and the other three of us are talking about, like, oh, how much have you shot? And he's like, oh, I just started, like, a year ago, right? And we're like, oh, okay. Like, and you could already tell the other three of us are, like, already instantly, like, judging how he's going to shoot. He went through the first 11, didn't miss an 11 on the IBO side. And we started harassing the kid. We're like, oh, yeah, just started, huh? And he's killing it on the IBO side. Now, the ASA side was he was struggling on for whatever reason. If you look at his scorecard, he 11'd the first... 5 or 6 IBOs.
it is crazy to me the amount of people that come off here with, maybe because I'm so used to shooting Reinhardts, but I find it almost impossible to believe that people are going to score more 12s than 11s.
I
can't, I guess I don't understand why that is. I mean, I think I shot more 11s than 12s for sure.
I was eight up on the ASA site and down on the
other. Holy moly.
I feel like some of that is the way the targets, you can aim on them better.
Yeah.
Like there's better references.
Better references, like it's a standardized.
Everybody's saying they had trouble with the elk. The elk's like shooting at a piece of blank cardboard.
No, that's
where, I mean,
the McKenzie's, you got the core line. You can almost always see the insert, and the pen is basically centered in that insert. So aiming reference is huge on an ASA. Now, hitting the bonus rings themselves, I struggle more shooting at a 12 than I do Reinhardt 11 because I'm just not familiar doing it. This is the only thing that I've done a whole lot of shooting pen.
Look, at the end of the day, the ASA 12 is still bigger than the Reinhardt 11 on the lynx and the turkey.
Right. Yeah.
I would argue it's, yeah.
I mean
if you can get comfortable aiming there,
that's
all the problem is.
Like, I know, because I've shot enough with, like, Matt, when he was shooting, he aims right at him. He goes right mm-hmm. for him. Caleb told me the only way you hit him is to aim at him. And I know he aims at him. I know you aim at him. I am a aim in the middle and add a yard or a yard and a half and hope I pray to God hit that top.
Now, granted, I played that strategy last year at the RBD and it worked out okay. However, this year it worked out better on the ASA side, like to your point, to just aim at him. Now, if something weird happened for me this year, I always aim uppers. Right, and going into this leg,
you were shooting lowers.
I was shooting lowers at the house, right, and I was smoking them. And I thought, well, I'm gonna play this game, right? And I was kind of playing the strategy of aim at it and add half a yard, right, so that I'm catching the top half, and it worked. I think I only hit one upper out of the seven ASAs that I hit, or six ASAs that I hit.
When I am shooting ASAs, and I can look through my binos, get a good reference, and know exactly where that ring is, my brain has a hard time not aiming at it. Like, I can't sit there and almost tell myself, okay, there it is, now go up.
Right.
No, it's like, okay, there's your X, hit it.
I also feel like the ASAs, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the ASAs have more muscle definition. Like,
oh, they
have. No, they have way more target detail to
yeah.
them.
Way more.
On most all your targets.
Like, take the paint
off. They also mark up really easy.
Well, they do. So, speaking of that, let's roll into that conversation. Sunday, when my group got to that damn antelope out in the
field. Oh, that thing looks like chocolate.
That thing looks like somebody took birdshot and shot it in the core 17 million times, right? We looked through binos, my group did, before anyone shot. And we go, we know there's 12s, but I can't find them with 10 power binos.
I 12 that one, like, probably just by luck. But that thing looked like just Swiss cheese.
Oh, Swiss
cheese. That thing was just hammered.
I 12 that as well. Me and Garrett both hit uppers on that. I think that was the only one I uppered. And the only reason I shot at the uppers is because he stuffed one in it, and I thought, I can see him.
That was really only one of the... So I pulled all the targets down the other day, and I think that was really... The only really bad marked target, that Russian boar was really marked up for whatever reason. That seemed but that seemed like the inner paint, whatever's behind their darker color, was lighter. It seemed like that was marked up pretty good. And same thing with the Howling Wolf. Whatever they painted underneath that brown was lighter. So, like,
well, it's the brown, so they paint them gray, and then it's brown underneath. But when you hit that Howling Wolf, it comes out.
Yeah, so it was, those are pretty marked up, but the rest of the targets held up real nice. I mean, I don't.
What other ones?
Well, those are the main trouble targets. I mean, I think the lynx was the one. We didn't check to see if anybody shot a five on the cinnamon bear all weekend. That was the only one that was lingering without a five all weekend was that cinnamon bear.
Going into Saturday, I think we were talking to Evie about this, but going into Saturday, there was only three targets left, just after 26 people that didn't have a five or a zero, and it was the cinnamon bear.
Mule deer right after that.
The mule deer right after, and the impala.
Impala at the end didn't have a five on
it. My bet was that the cinnamon bear would make it through the weekend.
I don't think a single target escaped without a five put in there.
That's baffling.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you think the people like the weekend payouts? Right? Did you think that was something that, I mean, none of us hit any of them, but do you think overall that worked or what?
I have no idea. I looked at like the top couple flights just to see what the amounts were, and you know that's cool. I don't dislike it, but I don't know that. Are we gaining shooters just because of that? I'm not sure. You're gonna have to, you know, talk to the people from the second and third leg and see how they feel about it. I mean, that's all luck. You know, if you're not in the top three, the top flight, you're kind of hoping for the best. No way to know, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like you can sandbag your way into those payouts. So it's like.
No, but I don't know. I look at it as like people that go to casinos, right? You go to the RBD prior to this year, and you pay $100 for the early bird. And if somebody was sitting at registration and said, would you be willing to put in $20 and have 21 opportunities to hit money and basically guarantee your money back, I'd put $20.
I know last year we did the survey.
It's a gamble, but.
And it came back overwhelmingly to add the $20 to pay out every weekend.
Yep.
But I wonder. Like, I wonder if it's going to pay off, right? I thought we would see a more of a return. I mean, I get it. This year we're up against a few things. Like, the finale is the same weekend as Mechanicsburg this year. Now, Outdoor Nationals is not always going to be in Pennsylvania. It is. It's the same weekend as our third leg. That's why we're going to get, like, there are a few of the ladies. Like, I know... Olivia, Katie, and Haley, those three women pros, that they were here this weekend shooting, but they won't make the finale because they're going to be shooting that Outdoor Nationals down there in Pennsylvania that weekend. So there might have been some other people that thought, oh, if we're going to be at Outdoor Nationals that weekend, there's not really any sense of us going down to, you know, whatever. I mean, I know that.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I talked to Glenn, and I think Glenn is not fully comfortable with the score he put up here, even though it was a second place number. I think he's definitely thinking about making the trip down to Keystone this year. I think, one, because maybe he can win some money now, and, B, I think he wants to try to put up a bigger score down there. You know, but, I mean, Keystone's just as hard as here, or the last couple of years has been harder than here, I think. I mean, on par, right? I mean, those boys down there do a real good job of setting that thing up, setting that course up.
As long as they set the course up in the morning, you know, and don't put a Black Panther down the dark hole at 6 p.m. at night.
That was my favorite shot of the weekend. There's nothing I love more than watching every single group get out there and wonder, what are we shooting at and where is it?
Yeah, but to top it off, I shot with Caleb last year. He set that target, but he set it at 6 p.m. And then I shot with him on Friday or Saturday, and we get to it, and he just looks at me and he goes, what the heck is this? And I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. You set it. He's like, we didn't set it in the morning. Oh, no.
Pretty disgusted with that myself because I'm not purposely trying to get people to aim at something that is impossible to aim at because they cannot see it. Like, that isn't archery. You have to be able to see some kind of something on the target. You know, I shoot a 6-power lens, and when I'm shooting at a dark target at 15 yards in a black hole and can't see anything, that's stupid, in my opinion. So that was on me. Yes, we're going to have some targets that are shaded, not so much targets that you cannot physically see. So that was quite an accident. But I will know this time that I need to walk around in the morning and look at them and see what it looks like. Because it wasn't as bad throughout the day. But the first hour, you know, those people, you were not shooting a 10 on that.
No, I shot that thing like.
It glows yellow.
Yeah, that thing was hard. I mean, I think I shot that thing. Maybe I shot. I think I shot a low 10, and I was lucky to. I think I just closed my eyes and aimed down there, and I hit it. So yeah. We're going to be shooting a little bit on that side of the road this year, right?
So, walked around, I don't know, last 2 weeks, and we set 19 lanes on that side, but. We had an old bail course down through there that we got rid of, and it needed some work a little bit, and we did that this winter, and we have 19 lanes on that side right now, and I think we're going to probably run the first 11 kind of in the towards that deep hollow where the gator was, but I don't know that we'll get down into it yet. I haven't got the first 11 set down yet, but we have the hollow, the new piece that nobody's been on yet. That's a hollow. It's not nearly as steep as the gator was there the first year or whatever. I forget what even was in there.
That was the alligator.
The gator and the short target, whatever
that was. That Wolverine last year, you had that up through there. Yeah. Was that Wolverine?
So it ain't 20 degrees. We do have we got quite a bit of side hilling, and the walk will be a lot more friendly with, as far as some of the older people or some of the people that don't get around as good. The walk should be a little easier this year. So that was my goal. I kind of wanted to, you know, I heard not a lot of negative stuff about the terrain, but I heard enough that I kind of wanted to please people and still make it hard. I'm not looking to kill anybody and have them fall down and hurt themselves. I get around just fine, but I wouldn't want to be on a course and have a bad foot or a bad ankle or knee or something and have to roll down the hill. And God forbid it rains for a week, like at your club, and then we have all kind of mess. So we're going to try and keep it a little more walking friendly, but it should be equally as hard as we can. You know, I don't want Rob's course to be the hardest and the other two to be easy, because, you know, the people that didn't do Rob's have a slight advantage in score wise. So I want them to be about the same difficulty as far as now. Fatigue obviously is going to be a little different by ours because we don't have a giant mountain that you have to climb up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it works out really good. Like last year, I think to your point, exactly right. I think anybody that shot here or shot at your place it was almost apples to apples, right? So if you missed one and you only made the other, I think you were shooting the same level of difficulty. And then, you know, Dansville what they do is they just make things kind of far because they're flat. Yeah. But that's a good shooter's course. Like, if you can shoot your bow, you can go up there and stand on good footing and shoot down flat lanes. And if the weather is good, I mean, you should be able to hit a lot of rings up there. I mean, I don't think I've ever really shot awesome up there. I think the best score I ever shot up there was maybe 8 or 10 up. But big scores have been shot up there by guys who are, you know, far better than me. I mean, they go up there.
And bands, though, while they're flat and they usually make it long, the aspect to Caleb's point, right, they could, like, use shadows and stuff, right, if they wanted to start playing with trying to make it
more difficult. Yeah, they got a little bit more different canopy. I mean, so.
They got a thick canopy.
You guys are going to walk everybody up. You guys are planning on trying to walk people by the clubhouse, right? Midway, maybe two-thirds of the way through.
I think what we're going to do is leave the clubhouse and go back through that steep range again, enter in that corner, go down around the flat, maybe do a couple side hills, and come up out at the gun range pavilion where we're going to have somebody cooking. So these people that are on the course for 5 hours, they actually can get a snack in inside. It'll be probably at Target 12 is what I'm guessing. They're going to have a chance to grab a little snack. You know, they might be on the course for an hour and a half, 2 hours at that point, and can grab a hamburger or a hot dog and go across the road. And then it's a little better if there is a bunch up of groups and moving slower. I don't think we'll. I know that one or 2 years, Branchport had two different load options, loading on the front half and back half. I'm going to think about that, but I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're going to start everyone at one and go from there. But I mean, basically the only real big difference, a different course and maybe get some food on the course.
I like the food on the course idea because then if people do want to just take a minute to eat midway through, they can sit and eat, maybe let some of the other guys pass by or, you know, just kind of relax a little bit before they head back out. I think that's a really good idea. I mean, that's something I was going to try to do here, but it's impossible for me to do it here. I'm going to
probably throw a picnic table at, like, the beginning of Target 12, and it'll be a decent amount of, it'll be a little bit of a walk from the pavilion over into the woods. So if they wanted to take their food, they get into Target 12, they can sit down, eat garbage can right there, throw it away, continue. Couple people in each group are doing that, you're not really going to haul anyone up or anything. And if you get a group that wants to pass you, oh well. It's not like you're turning through these things anyway. They're already expecting to be, take the better part of the day.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, you guys were actually up from the first year. I mean, you guys gained attendance last year, so hopefully. That push into Pennsylvania is going to draw some more Pennsylvanians down there. I was actually looking on the map about exactly where you're located at down there in Shamokin, or where, you know, that is in a, like, for if I'm looking at just the map of Pennsylvania and for the areas that we want to cover, you guys are right exactly where we need to be. I mean, what are you from Reading down there? Probably an hour and a half, maybe?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half from Reading, hour and a half from Allentown, hour Harrisburg, 45 minutes Williamsport. It's an hour from State College, Lewistown. So you got a lot of different.
How about Lancaster? How close are you to
Lancaster? Is probably the better part of 2 hours.
All right, so they're just a little further east, but still they're within 2 hours, right? So I mean,
how far is York from you guys?
York's about 2 hours.
So that, I mean, that's
mostly, I mean, it's fairly easy driving. I mean,
right.
You can jump on 80, you can jump on 81. There's a bunch of different. It's accessible. It's, I mean, travel to all these different shoots all over the creation. I feel like we're pretty well in the middle.
I feel like you are really in the middle of where we want to pull archers from. I mean, I looked at the map and thought, man, there's not a better spot in Pennsylvania to put it, because you're still able to hit the guys that are coming from the west, like Nate Sellers and Average Jack guys, and those guys. They're not driving a million hours to get to your place, you know. And then you still should be able to, we still should be able to draw, you know, some of those southeastern, maybe, you know. I mean, we're still getting guys from Maryland and Jersey. So, I mean, that's really a good spot where they're not driving, you know. I mean, good Lord, those guys that come up from Jersey, they got to be 5 hours to my place, probably. I mean, easy, yeah. I would think. I mean, so your place is in a good spot down there.
We could have the setup to do, you know, anytime if you wanted to make changes. Our clubs, it's dry, you know, it doesn't matter the time of year. We just had a week of rain, and there's a little creek running through, but nothing that we have literally like zero mud.
That would be a nice change.
You know, the field there that in the future, if we ever decided to move the final and wanted it there, it could be possible. So there's a lot of different, I mean, there's 200, we have 288 acres. Go and sets of woods that we own that you guys haven't seen yet. I could make it harder. I could make it miserable. I'm not gonna. I mean, I'm sure there's one hollow there that I know that I've hunted. That's like, it doesn't get any steeper than that without not being able to walk it. You know? So, I mean, it could get harder. But I also want to keep it.
No, I mean,
you know, ideal.
I really enjoy that location. I mean, we camp down there.
Yeah, it's a good camp. I mean,
you got a little spot to camp. I already talked to Kimber about, you know Kimber. He's all about what are the overall plans for the weekend. I told him if we didn't go to that one place at least the first night,
the fire hall,
Americus. You know, that's number one on the agenda when we get down. But I think, you know, maybe we'll try to. I told him that maybe Saturday night, because we'd probably all be just about shot in the ass Saturday night, because that's probably going to be the busiest day. We could do his French fries and maybe cook out there under the pavilion for sure on Saturday. But I think we'll get, maybe even get more people camping down there this year. I mean, last year we had a few. There was
that field, so we have a farmer that farms those couple fields there, and we're going to have them have it, you know. So, I mean, the people that have can you see the parking area? We can pretty much park anywhere in that field if you want to set up the camp. And of course, there's a couple places to get some shade if you want to do that. No big deal. Unfortunately, there isn't any water hookups.
No, I mean,
just an outhouse that you can use. But other than that, it's fairly open. So, I mean, last year, what we had, fire ships.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean,
I'm looking forward to it. I think I don't see why there's any reason we can't bring some more numbers.
I think your leg is gonna grow again this year. Like, so you grew from the first year to last year. I think you gained like, I don't know, I think it was like 15 to 20 shooters last year. I don't see any reason why you're not going to get, you know, so historically in the past, our second leg had always been the biggest draw, right? People come to me in early bird. Some people hold out because they know how hard it is. And then the second leg was always the heavy draw because you had to make that leg to get into the tournament if you missed mine, right? And I think we're kind of getting back to that now that we're kind of back in the same place for a third year in a row. You know what I mean? I think we're kind of getting back to where I think that's what a lot of guys are thinking. I think particularly some of the guys in Pennsylvania, I think their thinking is we'll hit Keystone and then we'll hit Dansville. And if we hit a flight, we're already up there. So we're just going to stay there for the weekend kind of deal. Right. Instead of hitting Ram, driving all the way up here to Ram and then hitting you guys and then oh, you know, if they make the flights, they got to drive all the way to Branchport anyways, or to Dansville anyways. So, I think, that, I mean, I think that's what you're going to see some people doing. I kind of have the feeling that that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, as far as like the series as a whole, I'm a little surprised we don't get more people than we are, because I was expecting, you know, like 30% increase since it came to Keystone, and for whatever reason, it, you know, we've only gained a few here and there. But like the first year, we last minute, and it probably might have helped some people back, just, you know, some people think this is, you know, gonna be a crapshoot or whatever. But the last 2 years now, we've had a year to prepare for each one, and I'm a believer people want to see a different course when they come. So I like going to a club and it having, you know, having a different layout from year to year.
Oh yeah,
that to me, you know, I want to see if I can beat a specific course. I'm more so trying to beat the course than I do try and shoot a crazy high score. I try and minimize my mistakes. It's one of them things that you just hope for the best with turnout, and hopefully we have some good weather.
I don't know if in the 2 years we've been down there that we hit any kind of crazy bad weather. I think we might have had a storm blow through here or there, but I mean, really.
Last year.
Your leg and the Danville leg has been pretty decent. I mean, I know that one day I think you got hammered in the rain the 1 year and came off.
2 years ago at Danville.
Yeah, just came off like a soaked.
That was Mosier, Bridget, and I with somebody else.
That was the same year. Oh, a whole lot of sight lights went down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was
every Elvish tack in this course went south that weekend.
The waterproof sight light.
Yeah.
It's not waterproof.
But, I mean, that was just the one day. I mean, we've been, the shoot-off was a little sketchy that year, too. I thought we were trying to hurry before the rain, but we didn't get dumped off.
We did not get dumped off. We beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, we've been lucky.
Year at Keystone was Saturday or Sunday. One of the days, it got really windy.
Yeah, it did.
It got really, because the tent that we had was like flying.
Well, that was last year. Was that when you shot the course, Caleb, in like record time? Like it was like, I don't know, 14 minutes?
So we were trying to beat a thunderstorm, and we shot in the afternoon, and we ran. We shot that in like an hour and 40 minutes. I would have loved to take my time and see what score I could shoot. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? I don't really feel like getting soaking wet today. We just went as fast as we could. We basically both, you know, got on the stage range. I was at full draw, and the next guy was standing beside him and just getting ready to fire as soon as his arrow was released, you know. So it is what it is.
Well, we are certainly all looking forward to Keystone. That is what, the 6th of June, 6th, 7th, and 8th?
6th, 7th, 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th of June.
You and me, and I'm assuming maybe Matt, we're all going to be down there, what, Thursday night?
We're going to definitely try to get down there Thursday. I know Caleb said he's busy till later, and then a little bit later in the evening. But we can get down there. We're bringing signs and banners, and they'll have everything else ready to go, just like they did last year. So, I mean, June 6th, 7th, and 8th is the second leg. I can't wait. I mean, that's become one of my favorite weekends, is that weekend there. I was hoping to have kids down there, but Jade's going to Benson Boone. She ain't taking them. The kids are going to get shipped off somewhere else. So it'll just be us, so we can have a good time at the Americas. Spend $12 and eat like a king down there.
Eat a 5-course meal.
Yeah. We should do one of those like promos, like, we don't get paid by the Americas, but
I'm just trying to set this course so that way, you know, it's challenging and people can learn from it when they leave. That's the whole goal. I don't want to make it so hard that people just get mad and that's the end of archery for him. I don't want him to quit archery because of a hard course. I want him to get better when they shoot the course.
I guess I'm like, I get so torn because I kind of felt like after Sunday, I thought, maybe because I talked to you a little bit and I talked to some other people, I thought, man, am I just making this thing the most impossible thing to shoot of all time? But then again, like I said, then I look at some people's scores that come off and I think, well, I don't know. These 25 people shot 30 points higher than they ever shot before, right? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like, can't be that freaking impossible or else everybody on the planet would be. Now, I always think that tougher courses squeeze the margins down. Top guys are going to shoot a little less, but the average guys still find a way to hit their numbers, right? If you shoot a 280 most of the time, it seems like you shoot a 280 on the most impossible course ever made or on the easiest course ever made. But if you give a really good guy a soft course, he goes from shooting maybe a 310 to a 330, and that same guy still shoots a 280, so he is stretched out even further from that top guy. But, you know, it's just what I think I've seen over the years of doing it. It could be completely bogus theory, but, you know, it's just tough for me to think, like, my knee-jerk reaction every year is like, man, I need to make this thing easier. Like, I should go out thinking that my max yardage is like 44 and then set everything from there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
We weren't far off of that. We were 44.
Yeah, but I mean, if I planned on not setting anything over 45.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, see, the other part of it is I would think that more of our shooters shoot IBO because where we're
So
you want people to be able to practice for those types of events, and even if they are shooting ASA, because now footing and layout obviously not the same as the ASA shoot. If you're looking, you know, when I was shooting a lot of IBOs, the RBG was my favorite thing to shoot. Literally go up target and see how close I was with the rangefinder, just like I would any other time I practice. And it gets you prepared for the ugly footing and side hills, angled shots that you're going to see at, say,
Pipestep next week. Yeah, this weekend.
Well, listen, my entire group, we judged the entire course up until about target 26 when we stopped giving a crap.
It took 26 targets to break your spirit.
Well, not really my spirit, but that was when Nate Sellers and Garrett Anderson, who both shoot semi-pro, both looked at each other and said, I don't really care what this is. I want to stick 4 more arrows in foam and get the heck out of here.
I could tell they were probably...
No, don't get me wrong, right? Like, the entire time, right, while they were complaining about this, they were complimenting of how much fun they were having in the aspect of, like, shooting. They were just frustrated.
It is. I get it. You know, and I,
it was very comical, right? Because the first 15 targets, like I said, right, our entire group was having a ball, right? I was 8 up. That Brian Lopresti was like even or up. Nate Sellers couldn't find a bonus ring, but he was staying clean. Garrett Anderson was aiming hard at him. Like, we were having a great time, and we got to that walking bear, and it was like all downhill. Everybody was like, forget this, screw Ram Archery, F Rob, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the funny part is that Garrett Anderson apparently loves weight on his bar, right? So we get to that links, and I said, how much weight you got on those bars? And he goes, I've got 22 on the front and 38 on the back. And I go, oof, that's a lot of weight. And he goes, I just added like 10 ounces to the back bar. It feels great. He drew back on that links, let down twice, and he goes, this is a lot of weight to hold uphill. It's a shot. He probably would, if he hears this, he's probably going to kick me in the head. Shoots it in the neck. instantly sets his bow down after shooting it in the neck, strips all 10 ounces off it, and just goes, wow, this feels great. Goes to the Howling Wolf, 12s it, and then I think he 10'd or 11'd the coyote, and he's like, I should have done this 15 targets ago.
Yeah.
And he's just talking to Nate about, like, what idiot allowed him to put 10 ounces on the back bar. This is this bow weighs 14 pounds.
And one thing, the course will, the course here will work out all your kinks. Whatever you're so doing
that was,
weird.
That was what Garrett was going through. That's where it was funny, right? The first 15 didn't expose anything. He got away with heavy bars. Nate was long on his draw length, and he got to that links and saw how long he really was. So aiming up that hill.
Yeah.
And then... that my sight tape was off, right? So we had a whole group that went from shooting pretty good to fell apart.
It got technical there quick, and I'm sure that Keystone every year is just as technical as,
well, listen,
if not more than here.
The most compliments that we hear is about how beautiful of a course Keystone is. Like,
they are my favorite walk.
Yeah.
Like, I like to walk their woods just because.
Gorgeous venue.
I'd like to walk in their woods. I mean, I know, like, I often think, like Caleb always says, all you gotta do is become a member down here to hunt. Well, that might be something I do.
You and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, but there's no deer, you know. The deer are non-existent.
I'm just gonna make sure I put one of those airdrop tags or something on your phone so I know where the hell you're hiding out down there.
I just get lucky, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. All right, brother. Well, hey, thanks for hanging for an hour that we were running, and we can't wait to see you next month.
All right.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, no problem. All right, RBD Podcast, we're a wrap. See you guys in Keystone.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.